So welcome to our content implementation call for the Nutritional Endocrinology Practitioner Training, October 2020. And these are the calls where we review various modules. And we'd been going through, before a new group started in June, we'd been going through the program, probably for the last year and a half we started these. And so we'd gone through a lot of the more advanced modules, and every month we'd go through one. But now we've been going through, you know, both. So let's look at the original. So what I want to do is make sure that this is actually helpful for everybody, you know. So I want to start with, so from a content piece standpoint, what questions do you have about whether it's what's in the modules or how you're going to use it and implement it in your life, whether you're practicing on your family members or whether you have clients in a practice, whether you have clients in a physical therapy practice and you're like, oh, how am I going to use this on my physical therapy people or whatever it might be. So first I'll just start it off and have an open, you know, tell me where you are actually. I really want to get caught up since it's not that huge a group. I want to get caught up with like, I'll just go around and just tell me what module you're in the middle of working on. So Terry.
I'm in the middle of working on module 8.
Woohoo!
Yeah, and then module 9 is the IRST.
Yeah,
and you I already finished. I'm on my second case study for that, and I'm working with somebody on this like this week.
Great. So you'll be almost finished, and then there's certification requirements, and you can have your certification and level 1 very soon.
Oh, that's fantastic! And so I saw that, and I'm like, oh, I think I've already done this. So it'll be a great review to go through it all because I need that. Yeah. And then, but the module 8 is where I'm at.
Okay, right, great. What about you, Jeannie?
I just finished 8 and I'm just starting 9.
Woohoo! You guys are really fast. That's great.
You go, Jean.
Yeah, but I know. It's like, and I did want to ask you about that just to make sure that, you know, obviously all the modules have so much information. So I'm trying to absorb as much as I can, but again, I know where to find it, but you know, I'm sure I don't know everything in those modules.
Right, but that's what the idea of the tests are. So again, another way to go back and review is like after you, when you've just gone fresh through it and you take the test, it's like it's all fresh in your mind. So go back through and take the test again a month later to see if it's still fresh in your mind. And one of the things we're recommending people who are, you know, still on the original site, because we're moving everything over to this new site, is like just go back and just do them again. You don't have to do all the modules and stuff, but if you get through and you go, whoa, I forget what that is, then you go back into the module and you see where to find the solution, the answer, et cetera.
Okay.
Here's the thing. Yeah. We all have books. I pick up my books all the time, right? The thing is you have to be able to know that there's information that's important when something comes up. You're talking to a client and they say something. You may not go, oh yeah, let me go back to, you know, that was in module 3, or I know there was a module on that, and you go with the index and you go, oh, it was there, and you look it up. That's why if you look around me, I can show you my in front of me here.
Oh right? Yeah, that's my books. Room.
There's more books over there. There's more books behind that curtain, behind the screen, and there's a lot more books downstairs in my bookshelves. So I'll go, oh, I need that. So if ever you see me get up, I used to have the book like as a credenza on top of the desk, and I have a desk that goes up and down, and it would get stuck and it wouldn't go up. And I realized my books are too heavy. So I put a bookcase over there. I pulled the desk away from the wall. But, you know, I'm always wanting to reach for like some of the books I use a lot, like this and the herbal antibiotics, right? I use them a fair amount, so I keep them pretty handy. We always have to know where to look things up. But what I really want you to be getting out of this is a thought process, the movement of the material, not necessarily the memorization of the exact this for that, you know, this vitamin does this particular thing, but knowing vitamin C is involved in the collagen formation. Let me go back and see what, you know, what that pathway is, because I have a feeling this person needs some support here. Does that make sense? Right. Because we can't memorize everything. You can't memorize everything. It's impossible. I mean,
you have so much information, which is wonderful for us, but it's impossible to try to, you know, just your brain, like you said, be able to, you know,
keep it all there.
Put
right.
a flash drive in. I want all that to go in there.
Yeah, and I don't have it all in there. It may seem like it right. sometimes because you ask me a question and
you know where, and you know, yeah, you know yeah. exactly where to go to get it.
Exactly, and that's what I want for you. And I want also that thought process because, you know, a lot of times, and I'm not dissing anybody or putting anybody down, just from there. But somebody goes into a doctor complaining about a particular situation. You know, they have this headache or they have this other thing. And the doctors have got this very specific in mind, like what it could be and what the solution could be, which drug it might be, right? So it's kind of like this mapping. Whereas I'm thinking in terms of what questions do I need to ask this person to clarify on that headache? How long have you had that headache? When did it first come on? When was the last time you went a day or a week or whatever the frequency without that headache? What was happening in your life right before that came on? Tell me about some emotional stuff in your life. Was there a trauma? Were you exposed to mold? Did you travel? So that's the processes that I want you to be able to get out. And then when they answer it, to know where you can look. Oh, maybe they're exposed to mold. Maybe they have some mycotoxins. How do I test for mycotoxins? I don't remember. Let me go look that up. Or which toxins produce what symptoms, right? Are they having other symptoms? Oh, wow. Are you also having some, you know, nasal congestion? Are you always also having some brain fog and problems with your memory? So it's like this big puzzle thing that you're weaving your way through instead of having this very linear, this, that, this means this means that. And that's what I really want you to be getting is this ability to have all these kind of questions. And, you know, some people call it the Jewish mother, the Jewish grandmother syndrome, right? You, if anybody's Jewish, it's not to offend my family on my husband's side, they're all Jewish. And so it's like that, you know, you say something, they ask you a question. You ask a question, you get a question in response. That's how we need to be in terms of being with our clients. And the interesting thing, and I'm going to be doing a challenge on this next week, is that when you're in a process with somebody and that first encounter, whether it's on the phone, on Zoom, or in person, or at the grocery store even, right, they say something and you ask a bunch of questions. And they're always like, wow, nobody ever asked me that before. Now that I think about it, it first started when, how did you know that? Right? They think you're magic. No, it's knowing how to pull all of it together. So I'm really glad you said that.
And we're also different, which, yeah. you know, is why we can't have that one, you know, answer for what's, you know, bothering you. It's like everybody is so right. so different.
And it's different in terms of, yeah, genetically, and there were 99.9% same genetically, but those little tiny differences make a difference. But it's the early exposures, it's the traumas, you know, the way that you were treated. And it's not always that you were abused, but that your perception at that time was that your emotional needs weren't met, and therefore it might be perceived as an abuse and stored in your body that way. So I want you to be like so good at connecting with people and asking those questions. And the more I can feed your data bank of things, knowledge, the better those questions are, and the quicker you're going to come to a conclusion for that person, maybe not a conclusion, but, you know, a strategy for that person, for helping them. Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. Thank you for that. So Martha, where are you at? What module are you on?
Can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, okay. Well, I, you know, had stopped and started a couple of times. I finished all the vitamins and minerals. So I've taken 2 of the 4 tests. But I went ahead and started on the digestion, and so I'm starting that module. But I've got to go back and check to see which modules I've taken tests. I think I'm almost through with the 12, so that I'm ready. When I finish digestion, I'll be ready to go into the other 24 modules.
Okay, great.
And then, I mean, and you might tell me this is not a good idea. I'm trying to be like the wagon train, and I'm trying to go east to west just to blaze through it all, and then go back and do more of the assignments.
Yep. And so here's the thing that you might consider.
Okay.
Is
I have an answer.
We can move you over to the new site. You won't lose access to the old site. So just so you're sure, so you're aware. But because if you want to make sure that you got everything done, we have a lot more checks and balances in there. And you would start again. Yeah, like Jeannie said, I'd go back there and I'm not sure. You just take the tests over. Yeah, I don't need to watch that. I know that one. You take the test. Oh, maybe I do need to watch that mitochondria one again. Okay, I'm going to watch that again. So that's an option that you have. And okay, we're going to be allowing everybody to make some choices about that, where you won't lose access to what you have, but you'll get the ability to come in and have, you know, that structure. And
then level one. All the information is basically the same that was on the old system. It's just being transferred.
Yeah, we're moving things over. We're organizing it a little differently.
So I'll be able to find the assignments on the new site then, is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You'll be able to find it.
I just feel like at this point that I've kind of put it off and gone on so many different rabbit trails that I need to just get through it. And then it's okay if I do have to go through a new system, because it's a great way for me to see how much I retained, how much I, and you know, what I need to work on. So I don't really have a problem with that. Just, I guess for a personal thing, because I've been in the program so long, I just want to get through something and feel like I reached a destination.
Well, I think you'll do that better if you're on the new site, because look how quickly they got through level one, because it was very structured. So you'll be able to say, hey, now I'm certified in level one. Whereas before, you had to wait till you finished the whole, well, you could get certified in IRSP2 or CMDS, but otherwise it's the whole thing. So it's just giving you that like feeling of accomplishment. Okay, I've done everything I need for level one. I'm certified in level one. Now I'm going to move on to level two.
So is it, how do I get to that? That I just need to tell you I need to
start? Oh, you just let me know and I'll have the team move you over. Yeah.
So do I lose all the markers I have already?
No. You won't lose anything.
Because, I mean, I like those. Because when I first started, we didn't have those little check marks.
Yeah, we have the check marks.
We did? Okay, I don't remember
No, we have them in the new one. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because I like that, because it's a great way to say,
what you're finished. Yeah, we have
what that. What I finished.
Yeah, we have that. We also have, I don't know if they're annoying, but emails that come out periodically that say, hey, how you doing? Keep on going. Here you go. Keep on.
I like that. I like someone asking me. I really do. And so it's easier than doing the journal. And then, what I have been doing, I'm in Toastmasters and I've been taking different topics and presenting that to my Toastmasters group.
That's awesome. You know, I love that you're doing that. Maria Horseman, who's our, you know, resident physical personal trainer, whatever. She actually said, just start me at the beginning again. I don't know where I'm at. I'm all confused. Start me at the beginning again. And so she started it. She said, this is what I'm doing this time. She goes, every time I learn something, you know, she's making a little video. She's just going into Zoom and she's making a little video. And what she's going to do is share it on her Facebook page. She's still figuring out how she's going to organize it, but that's a way to reinforce and Toastmasters, same thing, right? You create a little Toastmasters thing. So teach it to somebody else is a great way to learn it, right?
Right. And so I'm getting more comfortable with it. And there's just like four of us and three of them have been speakers for like 40 years. So I'm getting all that to myself because nobody else is coming. So they are older school and they really, they didn't know what adaptogens were. And so I did a presentation on that this morning. And then I'm thinking, I need to make a video or when I get my website finished, make this part of a
make program. A part of your thing. Here's the thing. Yeah. The best way to learn something is to teach it. The best way. Right. If you ever sit down, if you had kids and you sit down with your kids and you may not remember eighth grade math because it was, you know, decades ago. Right. But you sit down with your kids, you pick it out and you go, oh, yeah. And then you teach it to them. Right. Or if you have anybody that's ever done homeschooling. Right. And you're going, these kids need to learn about, I don't know, amphibians, right? And you're like, I don't know anything about amphibians. How am I going to teach them? So you learn it and you teach it, and then you know amphibians. So the more you do that, and you do that with your friends, with your family members about what you're learning about nutrition, about diet, it's a great way to learn it. So thank you. Mary, where are you at? Oops, you're not muted. You're muted. Here, try that. It doesn't let me unmute people anymore. It's really annoying.
Oh, I just finished 8.
You just finished? Oh my God, you guys are really amazing. Awesome. Awesome. Congratulations. Donna, where are you at?
So I can't remember. Like, I have my big binder because, like, every time I would go through one of the modules and I would print it off and I would, you know, highlight and all that stuff as you were talking on the video. Mm. And I think I got through 3.
Great.
4, but then now I started over.
Oh, you moved over. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have a question about that because, so I had like, you know, I didn't have any like set time. And then I had an email that said I had to finish this in a year. And now I have an email that says I have to finish it in 6 months.
Yeah, it's not just possible. Don't worry about it. Just do what you're going to do. Okay. What we found, And those of you have been around a while, we do need to light fires under people's butts or they're going to be here for 10 years and not finish. Right. But on the other hand, if there's extenuating circumstances where you've got a lot of stuff going on and you can't, I had this feeling of, I don't want to pressure somebody. This person's a homeschooling mom with a part-time job versus this person, you know, is a retired school teacher. They're going to have different amounts of free time to be able to put in it. And I don't want to make it, you know, I don't want to make it stressful, but I also want to give you incentive to be like, yeah, I'll skip this for 6 months. Because you go back in 6 months, you're not going to remember anything you learned 6 months ago, right? Mm-hmm. So we want to keep you moving through it. So you're going to get those kind of emails and we're encouraging you. And I bet you could finish in 6 months. And if you don't, you don't, mm-hmm. right? Right. Not finish the whole course, finish just module 1. And we're talking to people here. Everybody's saying that.
Oh.
Just module 1, just unit 1, not module 1, unit 1. Thing. What?
I thought I had to finish the entire thing in 6 months.
No, that's impossible. I mean, that's impossible.
So what is the setup now? Like, so I'm on level 1, but like how many levels are there compared to all the different modules?
Yeah, so there's 4 main levels with modules, lots of modules in each. And then there's a module that's called certification. So when you finish everything, we're actually going to fast path people and do the studying together, you know, mm-hmm. to get people through all the assignments and check them off and all that. And then there's internship, which some of you are in, like Martha's doing internship right now as a intern coach for ERT. Mm-hmm. You know what those mm-hmm. are, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what it is. But the main core of the content is 4 units.
4 levels.
What are we calling levels? I get confused with levels, units. Levels have modules and the modules have units. So whatever. But yeah, so no, 6 months to finish level 1, not the whole.
Oh, okay. I was just like, oh my gosh.
No.
There's no way.
You're good. Oh yeah, you're good. You're good. All right.
So if we have a problem, like I think it's module 2. No matter how many times I went through and made sure all the little check marks were checked off, it doesn't show it as being completed. And I don't know how to do it. So,
all right, I'm going to make some notes on that. I made some notes one time and it was on a piece of paper and I couldn't find it. And I started going through it myself and I didn't get that far. But I'm going to do that. I think I'm going to do that this weekend to really make sure that, because they've got me set up, so mine all say you can't get through. So I have to actually check it out. I got through 1. My whole one is checked off. Okay, so let me put in.
Because there were a couple different areas. I didn't write them down. But it was like, what? It just didn't make any sense. And I was just like, oh, skip it. And then, but that one, it just won't mark it.
Did anybody else have that trouble? Did you have that trouble, Jeannie or Mary, as you went through that number two?
Ms. Terry, yeah, I had that trouble too. Yeah.
Okay, so we'll go check that off and make sure. Okay. So
So I'm in module three now.
Two won't show complete, but it opened up module. It opened up module three.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's weird. Cause usually if it's not really complete, it won't show you.
I know.
Yeah.
Cause I made sure I did the test and everything, and I made sure all the check marks were checked off and.
Okay. Yeah. We'll get it fixed.
There was a module that I was working on, and I had sent you an email because one of the answers was in the transcript, and when I put the right answer in, I thought it was the right answer, gave me the wrong answer. And when I went back to do it again, then it still gave me the wrong answer. And then I'm saying because in your transcript, it said that particular, I can't remember what it was, but I sent
you an email. You sent an email to me or to help desk?
The help desk I sent the email to, and I think I sent something to you as well.
Okay. And did you go back after a while to see if we fixed it?
Well, I had already taken the test, and so that one I just
okay. But you passed the test anyway, so
all right, passed it. But that
all right, I'll have a look at that because thank you.
So whenever we have problems with the technical things that aren't doing as they're supposed to, then we do it to help them.
Yeah, because she's compiling all that stuff, and she'll pass it to the right person to fix it.
Okay. All right.
Is Dr. Rita Marie, do I reach out to Christina to switch over?
You could, but I'm not sure. I should teach her how to do it, but usually because she has to give it to Summer. So yeah, you can tell her that you want to start over in the new thing and to pass it on to Summer and she'll.
Okay. Yeah. Well, is that easier for you? For me to do it.
I'm going to write it down. Okay. In fact, but yeah, if you do that, then it'll spark my memory.
Okay.
Martha, restart. Okay.
Okay, thanks. I've just been such an old friend of the old system.
It's up to you. You won't lose it. That's
what I was worried about.
You won't lose it. The advantage is too that we are going. Yeah, we'll make sure you get it.
Okay thank you.
I had to redo all mine.
What's that? Yeah, you have to redo the tests if you're, but you hadn't gone very far anyway. So
no.
If Martha's up to module 12.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, I take pictures of everything and I have everything. So I just had to think.
Oh, good. Oh, to take them again. That's a smart idea.
Yeah.
How many modules are there in the first section?
Well, in mom, the new side, there's nine in the first.
No, there's three.
There's nine
modules in level one.
Level one has nine modules.
Oh, nine.
Yeah.
Oh, duh. I'm on three. Hello.
You're on three. Right. There's nine. Right. And each one is a different number. And we may end up with more. Like what I wanted to do for level two was split the micronutrients into several sections, but they told me it's going to take a lot of time and I just want to get it done and then we'll go back and we'll redo it. So there's a total of probably with the new ones added like 40 modules. Yeah. And they're divided into different.
Okay.
So Stephanie, what module are you on?
Okay. I'm on module three? I'm on the pillars. Is that three or four?
Okay, so four. That would be four.
I'm on four. Yeah. Okay, I'm on module four.
Cool. All right. What about Jill?
Hi.
Hi.
I am at the end of digestion, except for some assignments. Okay. So I just have to go back and check on assignments and
module it is.
Get things downloaded and stuff like that so I can move on to the next one.
Great. And the thing about digestion and blood sugar is they carry like a certification in and of themselves. So you can actually finish all those requirements and get a certified, digestion mastery certificate. So that's
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Who else? Ronnie, you told me, right? Not Ronnie. Terry, you told me. Carol. Where are you at? Oops. Okay.
Did you mean Carol or Carrie?
Carol. But Carrie, you've unmuted, so go ahead and then we'll do Carol. So where are you at?
Okay. I'm on level two. Yeah. So I'm doing my board certification this Saturday. Mm-hmm. So I hope I pass. I get test anxiety, so I may have to do it twice. But yeah, so I've been working on that this week. But I absolutely love your new system. I'm in the new system. I did module one again twice because I had done it in the old system. And yeah, I got a high score. So I retained a lot of what I learned.
Good. So
that was cool. That was a success.
Yay.
So I have a schedule laid out. So once I do my board exam on Saturday, I'm going to catch up fast.
Great. I bet you will.
I bet. Yeah. Yay. Yeah. Thank you. I'm excited.
Yay. Okay, Carol.
You said, I have a question though. But you said that I still have access to the old site. How do I get to that? Or am I just in the new site?
You should still just be able to go back to the same way you always did, inemembers.com.
Okay, and what's the new one?
inemember.com.
Oh. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and it should be the same user ID and password unless you changed it. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Thanks.
Cool. Okay, so Carol, you there? No? Okay, Annette's already certified, so we'll skip her in this checking thing. Julie.
I'm on level two.
Okay, module, we don't have level two open.
Module two.
So module two. Okay, got it. Okay, cool. I'm like, did level two suddenly get magically open? It should be open by probably next week, but or the week after. They just have to, you know, once you move something from one place to another, you know, technology, and right now we're in Mercury retrograde, and who knows, you know. So anyway, that should be done. They showed me the outline today, and they're just going to fill in the gaps. Okay, so Carol, are you still there? How about Karima? I'm just trying to get a sense. This is not like judging anyone. I'm just trying to get a sense, especially that there's so many people in level module 8 that I'm like, hey guys, we got to get module 2 open or level 2 open. Yeah.
Hi, I'm module 9.
Oh, 9. You're almost done. 9. Okay. There's a lot of you almost done. So whoo, yay. That'll give us more. I'll get the fire lit under everybody's butt to get that going. So 2 should be open soon. You're going to be in 2 for a while. 2 is a, well, now the first part of 2 is the macronutrients, and that'll go pretty quickly. Once you get into micronutrients, that takes a long, it's a lot. You know, we have a module, a content video and information about every nutrient. And this is the piece that I think is just so, it's just so exciting. And again, you're not going to memorize every single last bit of information about it, but you're going to have all this great reference to go back to, and you're going to learn, oh, no wonder, you know, this happens and so many people have deficiencies of B12. Look how hard it is to absorb, because we talk about where are they absorbed? How are they absorbed? What do they do? What do they interact with? How do you know somebody has a problem? You know? Yeah, it's good stuff. And then the third part of level two is all about the, what I call the food religions. So there's a module about, you know, histamine and oxalates and blah, blah, blah. There's about 13 or 14 different core contents in there. So exciting. So yeah, those are each like an hour each. So it'll take you a little while to get through it. So don't, you know, be hard on yourself. Okay. So Karima, who else didn't I hear from? Julie, you there? Oh yeah. No, you mentioned Julie. I got, and then Sharon, how about Sharon? Oh, Sharon, you told me the other day that you were just about finished. You just had to go back and do
your... Yeah, I finished level one. I finished 9, and I'm just trying to figure out how to get to level 2.
Yeah, well, 2 isn't open yet, so you need to go finish all your assignments and talk to Annette. She'll help you.
Yeah, I have a call scheduled tomorrow to talk to her.
She'll help you to make sure that you get, you know, your assignments done and everything is done, and yeah, cool. All right, Carol, I guess we're just not going to hear from you. Your line doesn't seem to want to open. All right. Does anybody remember where we left off in going through the content implementation on the more advanced modules? I know we did neurotransmitters at one point, and I don't know if we did organic acids, but if you wanted to go through organic acids, that would be a fun one for everybody
to yes, kind please.
Of get a glimpse of. Hmm? Yes,
organic yes, acids. Please.
All right, let's do that. All right. Okay. Okay, so organic acids. So we did thyroid, we did all of these organic acids. Let's go through organic acids, even if we've gone through that before. There's a lot of information in organic acids, and it's a kind of a test that isn't, right, what people say, well, I want to measure my blood, I want to measure my vitamin D. Yeah, you can measure your vitamin D in blood. I want to know what my vitamin B6 status is. Well, good luck getting it in blood. It just doesn't. It's not the right place to measure it in. And as you go through the micronutrients module, you'll realize why. The thing I like about the organic acids testing is that it gives you functional tests. So it looks at not like this is how much B6 is in here, but these are some particular chemicals that will build up if B6 is low because it can't take them through the process. These are some of the things that happen in the Krebs cycle, right? The Krebs cycle, I think I did go through this, but we'll go through it again because there's a lot. The Krebs cycle is where all the energy is produced. We go into lots of detail on that in module two, both sites, it's module two. And we talk about the different, you know, the ways that energy is processed. And, you know, we take glucose and oxygen and we take it through this whole processing. And if your B vitamins aren't there, you can't actually make much energy. And so when we're working with clients and they have low energy, our job is to ask enough questions to help to understand why they don't have energy. Is it a problem with insulin resistance and they can't get their sugar into the cells? Is it a problem with the Krebs cycle and we're not able to produce ATP from the glucose? Is it a problem with hormones, right? Where the thyroid might be sluggish and the metabolism might be sluggish and the adrenals might not be working properly. So the more you know about how this body works, the better it's going to be for you to understand, to help ask the right questions to hone in on why this person has low energy. Okay. So, in the, you know, these modules are all set up pretty similarly on both sites where we have the learning objectives, the pretest, the core content, the advanced topics, and the next steps, and then exams. So the next steps was set up so that after you've learned this stuff, there's some things that you can do with it to actually, you know, reinforce your learning, right? So the next steps, review, that should be, oh, this is, let me see, that's what you did. Review the simple organic acid reports, right? And then either using yourself or your client or a mom or a kid or whatever, run one. Like run one. If you've already had one run on yourself, use the content in the module to help you to understand what it means. And share notes and ask questions. I think we could get very active in the Facebook group as people go through different modules to support each other in the application. Right? Study the interpretation guides. We often call it the OAT test for short. And then record the labs and you can keep track in your master tracker, however you want to keep track of it. And then follow up, schedule up assessments and order follow up if necessary. So here's my thing. And I want you guys to all get this about testing in general. There's a lot of functional medicine tests. People want to get tests done. But a lot of times the retest is overlooked. So if you get an organic acid test and you find like 5 to 10 things that are out of balance, what good is it going to do you if you just make up a protocol and then don't, and then assume it's right, right? Assume you're God and you know exactly what's wrong and what to do. No, it doesn't work that way. So we put protocols into place. We go back. Sometimes things get worse before they get better in certain areas and better in other areas because it's like this layer, this onion that gets unpeeled. So I want you guys to keep that in mind regardless of which of the tests you're running. So don't remember, maybe we didn't make it all the way through this. I remember going through Krebs cycle. Does anybody remember? I remember going through this. I'll just show you the different parts of the of the test. And then you watch this and you're going to learn a tremendous amount about how to go through it. Another way to get some insights on how the organic acid test is, you know, what's going on and how to interpret it is in case studies. So, you know, come to the case study calls, because inevitably people are putting up Dutch tests and organic acid tests seem to be the most popular tests for people to do and show up on a case study call with. And as I go through this, if you have questions, just shoot them out. I'm going to just show you the slides. And these are the dysbiosis markers. Okay, so in a stool test, we're testing a person to see what organisms are there. And we, you know, they culture it and they figure out what's there. But on the organic acid test, we're not doing any kind of that. What we're doing is looking at chemicals that could be produced if these particular organisms exist. Now you can see this person's a mess. I don't remember if this is a live case. I think this is. Yes, this is, oh, I remember her. 75-year-old female. She has hypertension, anxiety, celiac, and she has homozygous MTHFR SNPs. Look at this. Do we think this person has yeast and fungal overgrowth? Now, we can't say to somebody for sure that they have yeast and fungal overgrowth, but you get an organic acid test that looks like this, there's likely some yeast and funguses that are producing these metabolic waste products, these endotoxins. These are toxic products that can be damaging the lining of the gut and making leaky gut worse, right? Making them worse. So these are the markers. There's some descriptions and you can read all about them. This was taken from the Great Plains, right? And then the descriptions, this is taken from the Great Plains. So when you're reading it, they give you this little description. I put the ones for everything in there, but then of this particular person, high yeast and fungal, they tell you why, high triglycerides, what does it mean? So it basically gives you really good information. So when you run these, study them and study them and study them. And eventually you get to learn, but you're always going to be looking at them because they'll say, well, this one might be vitamin B3 deficiency. This one might be the person needs CoQ10, and you're putting that together. So there's a flow chart, and you can go through, and I talk about it on the video, right, about how you're going to look for what's going on and why these particular things and how these particular chemical byproducts are related. And then bacterial. This person also has a lot of bacterial. No wonder this person is depressed and has hypertension and, you know, anxiety, because her gut is like making her sick. All these organisms in her gut producing all of these chemicals are contributing. So this is a way that you can see that people are, you know, it's not just about gut symptoms. It's about, you know, brain symptoms when some of these things are off. And again, the videos on this site will give you all the information you need, but then it gives you the descriptions for each of them of what they could mean. And then, you know, this was taken from how they do an interpretation for each person in the back. And I showed in here a few others that are not necessarily dysbiosis, but that could be related. Now, shockingly, this person doesn't have any elevated oxalates. Oftentimes what we see is in people who have a lot of dysbiosis, a lot of fungal things, that they produce oxalates. Like she's slightly elevated oxalates, but nothing, you know, nothing to sneeze about, right? And we'll look at these in the other sections. So when you're going through this module, you may have to listen to it a couple of times, but I highly recommend that as you go through this module, that you have someone real to you, like somebody who you know, yourself or one of your family members or a patient or client, to compare the results to. Any questions about that? Okay. Reading lab tests is an art as well as a science. And a lot of people, like people that come from Western medicine where we just look at, oh, this is high, this is low, this means you need this medication, this means that you should, you know, avoid this or whatever. That's not the way we look at labs. We want to look at labs as a picture of the entire person and how they're put together. There are a lot of doctors who come from, they come from a Western medicine training, and then they take some functional medicine training, and they basically get these tests done, and they put people on a long laundry list of supplements based on what the results showed. This person needs, oh, B3 and B2 and CoQ10, and they just give this person a long list. And I've worked with people like that, who they've got a list of 27 supplements that they're on because this test showed all these things. We're trying to find how, what does it mean in the picture of it? And how do we look at what's going on with them stress-wise and diet-wise that could be contributing to this overgrowth, right? You ask people who, somebody who shows up like that, like this person was like, well, no, I don't eat junk food. Oh, except when I get stressed out and I'm mad at my husband and then I eat cookies, you know, except that, oh yeah, I have my wine at the end of the day because I'm stressed, right? So you really learning to take those histories and correlate the history. Like before I put this person on a whole big list of antifungals, she's going to be on those forever if she keeps drinking her wine and eating her cookies. So we have to get the underlying causes of these imbalances under control. And yeah, I'm happy to give somebody, you know, some supplements and things to support some of the symptoms to help them be able to make better choices. But a lot of people, they want to do these tests and then they just hand off lists of supplements and not good. Like oxalates, high oxalates. Everybody's like, okay, you got to go on a low oxalate diet. And they don't ever take them off the low oxalate diet. Like why do you have high oxalates is because there's some other disruptions, maybe some nutrient imbalances, maybe some leaky gut. And we have to heal those things so that we have the goal of like lowering the oxalate load or lowering the salicylate load or whatever that might be, but then working towards getting on a more wide range of foods. Let's see. So that was the dysbiosis. What we did was we put quizzes, and we'll be moving those over to the new site as well. Quizzes for each of the content review things, because, you know, I don't know about you, but when I was in school and they give all this content and then we have the final exam, it's like, oh my God, I have this huge amount of studying. I liked having quizzes along the way, right? Because then I had to study just this one section. I just have to study dysbiosis. Now I just have to study this. So we help you along with that so you complete the content review quizzes at the end of them. And then you have your final exam at the end and it pulls it together, right? That's how I worked better because I'm a last minute person. So it's like, I don't have to worry about, oh, the final's not until Thursday. Okay, on Wednesday, I'm like, oh, I have 400 pages to read.
Right.
And then you don't retain it.
I find those tests are so much fun along the way. I'm so appreciative. I have such a good time with them.
Oh, good. I'm glad. And it gives you an opportunity to go back then and go, whoops, I missed something in there, right? Yeah.
Yeah. It is so much fun to go through them and I'm just enjoying it thoroughly. And then yay, you get three tries to pass a test. So, you know, I've really practiced releasing all my test anxiety from past lives.
Yeah. And then the first time you do it, if you get most of them wrong or a lot of it wrong, you know, well, I got to go back and I need to go back to where I need to review this.
Which is terrific. It's absolutely terrific. Yeah. I love it. And it's been a lot of fun. So I thank you for that. Good. Really well done.
Yay. I'm glad to hear that, Jerry. So oxalates, this is one of my, I'm sure we have some good samples in here with oxalates, right? So again, these videos are, you know, they're not that long. Hello. This is only 14 minutes, right? So I would recommend, I think there's cases in here. Let me see if there were cases. I guess not. We have to go to the case study calls. That's one thing that, you know, we're working on doing is we do these case study calls and then, here you go. You have all kinds of cases, right? Sample reports and stuff like that. So utilize those, study those. Okay, so oxalates. So if we don't know what oxalate is, a chemical, it's an acidic byproduct of metabolism. And we have calcium oxalate stones in the kidneys. So these oxalates can bind to minerals and then deposit in different areas. And people that you might suspect have some oxalate sensitivities are people with vulvodynia, right? Pain in the vulva area that there's no explanation for, like scratchy feeling in the eyes, kidney stones, right? Joint pain, because it's they can deposit there. I created a new let's see if I can find it. I created a new chart that I shared in a, that I shared in a webinar last week, and I have to get it put up on the site. And I want to get somebody to help me finish it. So if anybody wants to volunteer to help me finish it, okay, let me just see. Is this it? I'm going to open this up. I have file open, and I'll give you the link to it. It's almost finished. It's not completely finished. There's a few more symptoms I want to look up and put, but it's basically listing all the kinds of symptoms down one side and all the different food principles. I call them the food religions, right? Because everybody's like dogma, like you have to do it this way, you have to do it that way. And then which ones might be having problem. And we're going to add this to the level 2 module 3, I believe it is. All right, so let me see. Top 3 strategies, costly mistakes. I have to look. I must have edited it on my other machine. Okay, so programs. Wasn't in Empowered. Maybe it was in Empowered. No. It was in, here we go, Nutrition Lab. I'll grab the link from here. Here we go. And it's at the end. Okay, so, oops, my screen that used to be touch screen isn't working as touch screen again. It happens sometimes and I have to go back and reboot. Here we go. Dr. Rita, oh, wow, that's an easy one. DrRitaMarie.com/diet. I'll put the link in the, I'll open it up and make sure. But DrRitaMarie.com/diet should go to this new chart. And I want to open it up on the site so that you guys, I can share it on my screen. Here we go. So there's several pages in here. And this is what we're calling the food religions assessment sheet. And we basically have this list of symptoms. You guys seeing it? Yes? Okay. List of symptoms and then the different kinds of foods or food components that may trigger them. Right. And when you learn in that module in level 2, you're going to learn all about these different ones. You can't have somebody go off of all of them unless they're fasting. That's why fasting works so well, because you get rid of all this stuff and, you know, everybody feels good. But not everybody, but most people. But when you look at this, so like say, look at this oxalates. Well, what are some of the symptoms? Well, if somebody is having this cluster of symptoms, right? Headaches, vulvar pain, feeling of having a UTI or burning urine when they really don't, joint pain, muscle pain, kidney stone formation, like a history of that, bladder pain and burning, poor bone health, poorly formed or sandy stool, eye pain. These could all be oxalate symptoms. Now, if somebody has one of these symptoms, then it doesn't mean they have oxalate problem. Do you see what I'm saying? We're looking for clusters. But then they also, you know, some of these other symptoms with the yellow could be associated with that. They're not like the symptoms that we're most looking for. And so you can use this chart to help to see if one of these different foods problems is going to be necessary. And I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this chart and I'll put it in that module and then I'll create a little video to explain how to go through it. But right now you have access to this, so you can really help to see if there's a, if there's an issue. Like these low FODMAP diets, specific carbohydrate gaps, they're very similar and they have to do with gut dysbiosis. So the kinds of reactions somebody may have are fatigue, gas, bloating, diarrhea, constipation, right? And if you see somebody has a lot of symptoms within one of these areas, it may be a good idea to help support them in lowering the levels of these things. Does this make sense?
Yes, Dr. Rita Marie, what does body ecology mean across the top?
Oh, body ecology diet. It's a diet Donna Gates put together ages ago, and it's an anti-candida kind of a diet, right? If you were to look that up, you'll see a lot of information on the web on the body ecology diet.
Dr. Rita Marie, am I, yeah. Like behavior problems, skin issues, like the last six or seven things, and then you go across the top and it's gluten-free, so that means that's what they need to do?
That's what they would need to do, right?
Okay.
That's an indication that this diet, so if it's red, that's an indication if they have a cluster of those symptoms, it's an indication that that kind of diet would be helpful for them.
Oh, okay. That's like up at the top is the strategy.
It's the strategy that you might want to try.
Okay. And thank you.
Yeah.
Can you put the link in the chat box?
Yeah, it's actually a shortcut to it is drritamarie.com/diet, but here's the big one.
I just tried that and it wouldn't let me go to it.
Really? It did for me. Okay. Here's
that's good for you. It says this site can't be reached.
Wow, really? You might have to put the
W. I can try it again.
No, there's the link. Just take that link. That'll work.
Yeah, it worked for me.
It worked for you. Yeah. It may be something that you had to have the www or the HTTPS or I don't know.
Up at the top, right.
Dr. Rita Marie, did you create this?
I did, yeah.
I'm telling you, this is just brilliant. The things that I've come across here that, you know, I'll put into sleeves and put into a binder.
Yeah, exactly. This is the kind of thing that, yes.
It is just brilliant. I just was...
Well, let me show you the rest of this, right? So the next one, and there's like six pages of this, but I didn't put them all in here because we still have whites in there. And that's where I need help with somebody to help me with it. Because... The same thing with the diets along the top, but then there's this cheat sheet of all the foods. And are they legal, illegal, or maybe problematic if someone's following this kind of diet?
Yeah. I had looked through this and I was like, this is fantastic.
It's incredible.
There you go. And then this is my food swap list, which is good, better, best. And I got inspired with this from Toni St. Clair. I don't know how many of you know Toni, but
I know Toni. But it's
She always talks about good, better, best. Don't make people go to best. Like people, but people who are hard driving and a lot of people who we see who are having a lot of issues, a lot of it is because they drive themselves really hard and try to be perfectionists and then crash and then eat, you know, pasta and beer and, you know, whatever else. So I created if they're wanting to replace these foods, and it's partially because of following these food lists or just because they're not good for them for whatever reason, what can they replace it with that's good, right? What can they replace it with that's better? And what could they, you know, and maybe not best in your opinion, or it's like kind of my opinion of what would be best. So if they're trying to eat, they want to eat bread and tortillas and pita bread and all that, well, you can get store-bought paleo wraps or raw wraps or dehydrated breads, which are really, you know, they're going to give you that mouth feel that they want. Better might be if you make your own, like homemade flax or chia wraps, homemade quinoa or lentil wraps, whatever you make. And then the best, good old lettuce leaves or, you know, a vegetable wrap. Most people who are like, they're fixed on eating tortillas all day long. And you tell them, oh, yeah, instead of having your taco in the tortilla, just switch to using lettuce. It's going to be a big jump, right? It's going to be a big jump. So how do you move them? I just found another tortilla type substitute, and it was from Justin Bakery. And it's a paleo, some kind of paleo wrap type of thing. And it's actually quite good. It's actually really, really good. And it doesn't have any grain in it. So I bought them on Amazon. So, and my other one is, I don't have there either. I put that in there. I love the coconut wraps. Have you had those coconut wraps? They are so, so delicious. And all it is coconut, coconut water, coconut meat, and coconut oil, very little oil. And they just make these beautiful wraps that you can make anything with. You can make a wrap sandwich. I like them for my favorite way to use them is my chocolate ones. I like to make them into baklava. So I make this kind of nut butter with chocolate and stevia in it sauce thing. And I rub it, I spread it out over one of those coconut wraps, put another one on top and then cut it into triangles. Everybody loves them. They are so amazing. And there's a recipe for that somewhere on my blog or on Facebook. Anyway, so that's what we have. And so this is a really great, and this is like, yeah, Terry said, this is a great thing to print out because it really helps people they say, I'm so struggling. I can't, just don't want to get rid of my mashed potatoes, but every time I eat them, my blood sugar goes up to 180. Okay, what are we going to do? Sweet potatoes might work better, maybe not. Parsnips or celery root, but cauliflower for most people works really well. Just cook up some cauliflower and make it into mashed potatoes. Pizza crust, we have a whole, recipe collection on pizza crust.
Sprouted buckwheat and grinding that up. Is that sprouted buckwheat?
Sprouted buckwheat can be good. For some people, it still raises their sugar a lot. So what I've done is I've sprouted the buckwheat and then I put it in the food processor and I combine it with some nuts and some veggies to make it less starchy, right? So I've done, one of my favorites was buckwheat with chia and Brazil nuts. Just like, I don't know why I threw Brazil nuts. I was trying to get selenium, whatever. Just blend it in there and then putting in some veggies to hold it together and then dehydrating it. And it makes a really, really nice, wrap or whatever. Buckwheat alone, if you just like dehydrate the buckwheat and grind it, for me, it raises my blood sugar. For my husband, it raises his blood sugar too. So that's the kind of thing. So I'm a little careful when I see some of these store-bought raw kind of wrap things that have buckwheat in it. I'm a little cautious because it does raise my sugar.
Dr. Rita Marie, can I ask you a question with the food religions?
Yep.
Okay. Because I keep finding it confusing and I think I might know why. So for instance, for the eczema skin issues, right? So the one green is the phenols. Now we want to reduce the phenols, yes or no?
Well, here's the thing with phenols, right? Polyphenols are like these great antioxidant rich supportive kinds of chemicals. But if somebody's sensitive to it, they don't process it well enough, then they need to reduce them. So they may be getting some symptoms. So somebody who's having problems with phenols may have headaches. They may have redness, they may have rashes or hives. You can scroll down a little further, possibly fatigue and gas, likely to be more like a diarrhea, constipation, So these are some of the symptoms you might see in a person that has that particular issue. And in the module, I'll just show you really quickly the module. In the module on the site, we have, a presentation on each of these. So if we went to food principles, it's going to be in your level two, module 3 is where it'll be on the new site. But you see how many different things we have: oxalates, FODMAPs, Ayurvedic diet, macrobiotics. So we have all of these. We have really good details on those. Okay.
Because I guess what I'm curious about is we have like histamine, oxalate, phenols, sulfur, or so on, and then at the end we have casein free and gluten free. So I'm trying to figure out in my head, do we want to promote or do we want to?
Okay, got it. I think I just need to edit this, right? I'm not the most, detail kind of person. So it should be low FODMAP, SCD is a particular type, low histamine, low oxalate, low phenol, low salicylate, low sulfur, low lectin, low nightshade or no nightshade, low amine, low glutamine. Body ecology is another specific one. Low glycemic, casein-free, gluten-free.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So we want to reduce those things. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
This would be if the person has a cluster, a lot of symptoms, you're doing all kinds of stuff and they're like not getting better. It could be that they have a phenol sensitivity or a salicylate sensitivity or a histamine sensitivity. Yeah. That's a good point. I'll edit that and fix that up. Okay. Any other questions on this? Oh, now we get off on this from oh, but what the heck? This is content, no matter what content. Let's just, you know, good content. So let's go back to, where were we on organic acid testing? Okay. Yeah, so we were looking at the, that's how we got on it, with the oxalates, that's right. The thing about oxalates, and it's a short section because it's a very short section of the test. If we look at the, and there's the descriptions, and, oh, this is oxalates and Krebs cycle all in one. Huh. Oh yeah, that's what it said, okay. So with oxalates, if a person has high oxalic acid, that could be that it's not, it doesn't have anything to do with them genetically being sensitive to it. It could have to do with the fact that they're being produced by these organisms. So you're always comparing it to what's happening in that other part of the test in the dysbiosis. It could be high doses of vitamin C. Some people will convert high doses of vitamin C into oxalate, right? So these are the kind of things we're always looking at. We're never reading, quiet, doggy. We're never reading a test at face value, so to speak, and just saying, oh, this is high, this is low, therefore you should do this, because there's not rules like that. It's pulling the whole thing all together. And then the Krebs cycle, you know, again, I have to always look at this chart. I keep saying, thinking I've looked at it so many times, I'm going to remember the exact, like, which amino acids and which vitamins and minerals are going to convert from one step to the other. The truth of the matter is I use this chart a lot. I just pull it up and I look. And if I'm looking at their test, and for example, I see that they have high, let me look at the test itself. This show. Okay, let's just say they have high succinic acid, right? So I would look back at this test result and I go, where's succinic acid? Succinic acid is here. So if it's high, usually, not 100%, but usually on a test like this, if one of these chemicals is high, it means that it's not properly being converted to the next level. So usually you'll see that the one after it is either low or at the lower spectrum of the normal range. So we go, why is this not being converted? Ah, vitamin B2. This person might be low in thiamine, right? And then we go, okay, I'm not going to just assume they're low in thiamine. We look at their diet. Do they get enough thiamine in their diet? Do they have any genetic markers that would predispose them to need more? And then we look at, do they have other symptoms? Right? And then we help, because otherwise you're just going to look at a test result and you're going to just give them everything that the company, basically, whoever the consultant is there, is saying they need. So we go, oh, you need niacin and you need CoQ10 and you need, there's another idea for CoQ10, so maybe you really do need it, right? FAD, which is a flavin, which is riboflavin. Flavin related, a lipoic acid. So you could just go through this and make a list of everything that the person might need. And then you overwhelm them because they're now you've got 27 supplements that they're going to take. So you're always looking to how it all goes together. All right. And then what's next? Is this helpful at all? Am I just losing you all, or is this helpful?
I'm really enjoying it. I'm glad you went over it. I was supposed to go more in depth.
Okay, good.
This is helpful.
Great. Great. And it'll be more helpful as you get through this, you know, you go further and then you start looking at actual tests. Neurotransmitters. There's a neurotransmitter section on the organic acid test. And I don't know if you recall when I said it on the last time we did one of these, I said, I'm not a big fan of neurotransmitter testing. A lot of people want to test neurotransmitters, but we don't really know what we're looking at when we just test the neurotransmitters. I'd rather look at metabolites of the neurotransmitters. So this is the page of metabolites of neurotransmitters. And so if we see like one of them is high and one of them is low, we can look at the pathway again. So if we look at this person has high HVA, homovanillic acid. So we'll look at this pathway and we'll look to see, well, why do they have high HVA? So we will find HVA on here. There's HVA. It's high. To me, that says that a lot of their dopamine is being converted to HVA, more so than being converted over to this side, which is VMA, and norepinephrine and epinephrine. So maybe they have a problem with this particular enzyme for converting from dopamine to norepinephrine, and instead it's producing more of this HVA. And so as the more you go through these and the more you study this, the more you understand exactly what might be going on nutritionally, right? Like what factors might be interfering in this particular case, right? And then we look here, well, dopamine beta hydroxylase, and we look at the different places where there's cofactors, and we figure out what's going on. Does that make sense? Like this person has a quinolinic, okay? And yeah, so her quinolinic is high right here. So we look and say, okay, why would her quinolinic be high? Well, her tryptophan might be going down to quinolinic instead of going down to serotonin. So then we want to ask the questions, does this person have signs or symptoms of low serotonin? Do they tend to be anxious? Do they tend to have depression, right? Do they tend to have sleep difficulties because serotonin then gets produced into melatonin? So simple tests like this get us to, when we understand the chemistry and the physiology behind it, it helps us to understand why these markers are high and ask the right questions to help the person instead of just saying, okay, we're just going to give you this nutrient because that's what's going to help. Why is tryptophan going down to quinolinic acid? Well, immune stimulation, stress, infection. So then we want to look at, does this person have some of these factors going on? And we want to correct it because we're not going to just correct this by giving the person 5-HTP. Yeah, you can get some symptomatic relief from helping them to go down this way, but they're still going to get this buildup of quinolinic acid, which is a neurotoxin, right? And B6, they may need B6. It's a possibility because tryptophan goes down to 5-HTP via B6. Okay, so this is the thought process, and here's the, you know, more up to date. The tryptophan to 5-hydroxy, B6 is listed there. Serotonin going down to the 5-HIAA. I think this person was a little low on that one. And a lot of times my process for going through these, it takes a while to go through these to really get a good feel. But my process is to have the pathway in front of me and their stuff. And I typically, I think I have a couple here. I typically print these out. As much as I'm a tech person and I don't like wasting paper and I like doing stuff on the computer, I find it easier when I have, you know, the pages in front of me and I can go back and forth with my pen and highlight things. So in this particular case, she was high in the quinolinic, and a little on the lower end, the lower half on this 5-HIAA. So if I look here, you know, the 5-HIAA is a little bit low, which makes this high, the ratio, then I could be saying, well, I could just give her some more B2 because that's what this pathway shows. But I also want to be finding out why, right? We always want to be, we can give symptomatic relief and address pathways directly, like see from serotonin to B2 and copper. Maybe it's one of those, maybe it's B6. And we can do that and address that to help people get symptomatic relief, but it's really understanding why and what's the stress or is there an infection? Is this making sense? Am I losing anybody at this point?
No.
I find it fascinating.
It's fascinating.
It is fascinating.
Good. I love going through this stuff.
It is fascinating, but it's way over my head right now.
And it should be. It's module 87. No, it's way beyond most of where you're at, and you're going to be building and you're going to be learning. You know, you can see that these other things are before we get there. You know, the neurotransmitters, brain chemistry, is before it, basically. And the way it's going to be done in the new program is the functional assessment mastery is actually after you've gotten all the hormones, the neurotransmitters, how the body's working, the nutrients, and then you're going into the testing. So I'm giving you a head start to see, you know, to give you like a, here's where the bird's eye view is where it's going, but you're going to have all of this other information in your data bank before we get into all the functional testing. There are some people who at one point, I don't know if we still do it, we pulled out the functional assessments and just did it, but you have to be a certain person to do that, right? You have to have a lot of experience. Maybe you're, you know, a physician's assistant, a doctor, a nurse, somebody who's already studied some of the other pieces to be able to put it together.
So will you ever start, since we're going to this new whole setup, are you going to start over so that you're not only just going over these really high, you know,
yeah, and I've done that. I did that a couple of, I asked, that's one of the reasons I asked some of the questions about where everybody's at is because last session I did some of the stuff in level one. Most of you finished most of it in level one. It's like, I don't want to, you know, go back to that. But once we open level two, then we'll go back and we'll start working through those as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. But I kind of felt like most of you would be, you know, bored if I went over everything from there already and all of you are through it. So that's why we didn't do that.
Dr. Rita Marie, what I find though, even though this is like, you know, so much science and chemistry, it's still back to basic. It goes back to B6 comes from food. You know, all the things that are in the chart, you can relate to people. It's, you can take care of yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what a lot of this is when you do these tests, and people can see it in black and white, they may be then more inclined to do the food things and the stress things and all the basics that you're sharing with them without, you know, because now they see it. They see that their genes have this, or they see that their test result is showing it. So some people need that kind of information, and sometimes we need it, right? So you're working with somebody and you're doing a lot of the basics, they're doing really well, and you're going like, why is this happening? You know, there may be a metabolic defect in their processing of B6, and you do some of the testing, you're okay. And that's the linchpin. That's the one that goes, oh yeah, that's the piece. And so I want you to be able to help people from all these different regards. But basics are so important, which is why we hammer that in the level one content. Yeah. What else do we have in here? What time is it? 4:44. Let me just check my calendar. Okay, we have about 15 minutes left. And this is a really advanced test, right? So this is one of the tests that relies on having a lot of this other information, but I want you to see what's available. And if you think that one of your clients needs a test like this, and you still don't know how to really interpret it, but you want to run it, especially if it's, you know, a friend or a family member, and you don't want to, you know, they're not paying you $1 zillion and you're trying to learn off them, but you can still do it that way. You run the test, you read through the report, and you bring it to one of the case study calls, and we'll go through it and help you to support that person with it. And every time we do that, you're going to learn more and more and more and more. Ketones. Yeah, that was at the end of that one. Why would that to neurotransmitters? Oh, Krebs cycle. Oh yeah, Krebs cycle. So neurotransmitter markers we did. So ketones. Generally speaking, when I'm working with people, they're on kind of a ketogenic or a partially ketogenic diet. So when I see some of these markers high, instead of going, oh my God, there's something wrong, I go, way to go, you're doing it. Or if somebody says to me, yeah, I've been on this ketogenic diet. Oh yeah, I'm following this keto plan from Dr. Berg or Dr. whoever. And I'm like, are you testing your ketones? Well, no, he just said to do it this way. Okay, this test will tell them whether they're really in ketosis, right? And you know, you can do it with your finger prick and all that, but the test will really show it. So a lot of times people will have slight elevations or even a lot of elevations in some of these. And it's like, yeah, they've been doing a ketogenic diet. But if they're not, then there's a problem here, right? That their metabolism isn't working. So that's a question. If you see elevations in a section, that is ketones, and you say, hey, tell me about your diet. And they'll, well, for breakfast, I have bacon and eggs and bagels. And for lunch, I have a sandwich. And then I have cookies in the afternoon. And then I have spaghetti for dinner. Like, that person is not going to be, that should not be in ketosis. So that's where you have to start to look deeper. Okay. And again, there's all these markers are described in here, and I talk about it in the video. Let's see what else. If there's anything else on this test. Yeah, so nutritional and metabolic markers. Some of these, they're just testing, like B6, they just test the B6 in the blood, which I don't think is a great marker. But some of them are great because they're markers metabolically, like say for B12. A lot of folks will run, a lot of doctors will run serum B12. And I just don't think it's that useful to run serum B12 because that's not where the B12 lives. You want to do a metabolic marker. So this is the one I recommend, and you can get it on the oat test, methylmalonic acid, right? That's a particular chemical. It happens to be neurotoxic. And if the person is elevated in methylmalonic acid, it means that they don't have enough B12 to break down that methylmalonic acid. So that's what we're looking for. With B6, I don't worry about it being high, because especially if they're taking supplements. But if they're low, then it's like, you know, what's happening? It may or may not be useful. So I'm not sure that that's really useful. Pantothenic acid, glutaric. This is a metabolic indication of riboflavin. And if it's high, the little star means if it's high, it means that you're probably low. So this I can take as they probably are low in B2. And I think there was something in another part of this test that I went, they have a B2 problem. So it's high, which means that they probably don't have enough B2, same way as if methylmalonic is high. Ascorbate is just, it's not very useful in here, although for her it was low, so she probably needs more to be taking it. But the thing about the ascorbate, it's out of your system in 6 hours. Right? It's not going to show up in your urine 6 hours later if you've taken it. It doesn't mean your tissues are depleted. It just means that you haven't taken it or eaten it for a while. And then the CoQ10 is another one where if this particular chemical constituent is high, they probably are low in CoQ10. Glutathione, similarly, right? And if they're low in NAC and biotin, similarly. So we get some good information, and this describes all of them in the pictures. I really like the pictures of looking at the vitamin metabolism. And once you get through this topic, you'll probably will have been through or should have been through the nutrient ones. So you kind of get a sense of it. But again, was it Terry or somebody said, this is the kind of thing where I want to print it out and put it in a sleeve. Yes, there's a lot of stuff in this program where you want to print it out and have it in a sleeve. And that's your reference, because you're not going to memorize all these numbers. There's no way, you know, unless you're one of these super people with super metabolic powers. I don't have. And then finally, amino acids. The thing about amino acids on the oat test, it's not that relevant clinically, except for detecting what's called inborn errors of metabolism. So if you're seeing really high levels of certain amino acids, let's just say, these are amino acid metabolites. This may be indicative of an issue with the pathway that they're not metabolizing that. And the one that stands out most, phenylalanine, is it here? Phenylalanine is, there's a condition called ketonuria. Is this one related to ketonuria? Yeah, so so she had this one high. This one would say, well, if it's super high, it may mean that there's a metabolic disorder, that the body just can't break it down, genetically doesn't have the machinery to break it down. But if they're low, it doesn't necessarily mean the person doesn't have enough of those amino acids. This isn't the best test for that. You really have to directly test the amino acids for that. And that's it. And then we have your test and advanced topics. You know, a lot of times I'll put advanced topics will be case histories and various things like that. You've got access to the various places where you can order these tests. And then here's some interpretation videos that I took from the Great Plains Lab that are really good. And that's the story. So any questions about this content or any content at all that you've been working on or?
You know, I have a question about the stress section. You had videos that come out weekly or something, stress videos or something you did little.
I have daily stress. I have a 30-day stress transformation. Yeah.
That's not the, just to let you know, that's not opening up for me. I mean, I signed up to see how it was. I get it every day, but nothing opens up.
What do you mean nothing? You mean the video, the audio still
works? Yeah, I click on it and then it goes to a page that's not available.
But people have been telling me lately that they've been watching them. So I wonder if there's maybe, did you sign up for it from this site or from the other?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know.
So I wonder if there's an older version of it.
Right. So I did send Christina a couple of days ago that I wasn't able to access it. So.
And you just started it?
Heart math, Dr. Rita Marie?
Excuse me, what? What's that?
We're talking the heart math.
It was in the heart math? Let me see. I have this other site open. Give me a second. This is this one. I thought I had the other one open. Okay, I thought I had INE member open. Let me see if it's on here. And they may have INE. Was it in the stress portion of the, I thought I had this open earlier. Okay, there we go. You might be able to, it might be from pillar 4, or module 4. Let's see. This is history taking now. Okay, must be 6. Oh, history taking I thought was 3. Okay, stress, here we are. Huh, I guess they put them in the wrong order because I thought 3 was supposed to be history taking. Maybe not. Okay.
It is,
yeah.
Module 3, because that's the one I just started
okay.
Now.
History taking, okay. Module 4. Pillars of health. Okay, so there might be the... All right. I got to finish going through. Here, body freedom assessment. Let's see. Okay, here we go. Fun, sleep. You can tell I haven't been in this side much. Sleep, exercise. And it would be the last one, the mindfulness. Mindfulness, here we go. I wonder if it's in here that you signed up for it. Stress transforming. Assess your levels, teachers, clients. Is it on this page maybe?
Was there something at the very beginning, like kind of like before you start, it seemed like that's where I signed up for it was.
This sent you into this, into the other site. Yeah, I'm going through this.
Spend time now on this. It's just.
I'll make a note of it.
Yeah, fine.
Yeah.
I just want to see how you're doing it and see, because you know the best I think we can do right now is to mimic what you're doing. Try to teach what you're doing.
So let me show you where to find it. So if you go to Empowered Self-Care Lab on the, you just go into NEPT and it's there too. but you should be able to see this. And then you go down to transforming stress audios. I'll put this link in here. You have to sign into this site to get it. But I know this one works because I've been getting them myself. So then if you click here to receive it.
I just went to the Unstoppable Health and it's available there.
Yeah, but you have activated it. So now it's activated. It's under my where I'm logged in here. So let me put this link in the chat and then I'll look for it. All right, chat, try this. And I'm just gonna check my inbox to see if the email came and if it's clickable. That would have been this one. It might take a little while before the first email comes. Dr. Rita Marie. Yeah, I'll check it later. It takes a little while for it to come. But try that one out, Terry, and see if it works there. Yeah, because there's just a little audio message. And we used to use this platform called Audio Acrobat, and the emails had that link. And I thought I had everybody go through and change it, but you may still have access to the old ones, which would have had those, because we don't do that platform anymore. We just have them on our site. All right. Anybody else have questions or comments? Good? All right. Have a great rest of the day. Have a great weekend. And sign up for my little challenge next week. You've learned this stuff in Module 3, which is the history taking, but I'm going to be pulling it together just to really reinforce some of those first encounter kind of things.
Is that
how do we sign up?
Tomorrow you'll get, well, you should have gotten email today, but maybe not. But tomorrow in your newsletter, you should see a link in there that says click here to sign up. And I have, and
refresh my memory, is that every day at the same time or is it different?
Here, I know. I don't.
Oh, I just got it, I think.
You got it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I was just going to look for the, where is it? Kim, here we go. She has the link. I'll give you the link directly here. It's called the Wow Them From the Start Challenge. And
that's more about business oriented, right?
No, it's actually not. But it's connecting your history taking skills with your ability to build a practice. Like a lot of people want to know the slick marketing techniques, when in reality, it's more than that. Let me see if I can find it. Ah, here we go. Challenge join here. It should be open because it wasn't. Here we go. Control C. Try this one. And it didn't copy. It's an enticement. We're trying to, you know, get people to come to Shine. So it's like a marketing strategy for helping people to join, come to Shine. You guys already have 3 tickets to Shine, so hopefully.
What weekend is that again? Do you know offhand?
What's that?
What weekend is that offhand?
Shine is the November 13 to 15. Yeah. Yeah. Did you guys get links to here sign up for free? Yeah.
Already signed up.
Yay. Cool. Yeah, click that link and see if that works. It's drritamarie.clickfunnels. That should bring you to it. I made a video yesterday, so there's a little video to talk about it. And then register now. And we're going to do, you asked Martha. It was every day. Okay, I got to go register for it again.
I registered for it, but has that not been opened yet, the registration?
It just opened this afternoon. Shine's been open for a while, but...
Okay, well, that's what I signed up for then. I thought I'd signed up for the challenge
too. Yeah, so the challenge, I don't know. I don't have the dates off. It's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and I think it's like 9:30 Central through, you know, whatever. And then Saturday, Sunday, it's like noon or one or something like that. So it's 5 days.
And there will be replays?
There will be. Yeah, what we're offering for folks, it'll be on the Facebook group. And then what we're offering, you'll get the information in your email tomorrow, but what we're offering for everybody is they get it for free. And then if they pay extra, like $47 or whatever, they'll get all the replays. And we're going to do a Zoom room. But we'll upgrade you guys to, I just have to find out from the people. So sign up for the challenge and you don't have to pay the $47. Just let us know you signed up and we'll make sure all the NEPT folks get free access to the videos.
Is there a fee to sign up for the challenge?
It's free to the public. It's free to everybody. But then for the public, it's $47 to get the VIP aspect, which is an extra like 45 minutes to an hour on Zoom where you can ask questions and we can go through it. And then there's what's after that. Yes. And then they also get all the videos and the handouts and the workbook and all that. It hasn't been put together yet. So I'm going to be working on it this weekend.
Thank you.
Yeah. In general, if you create programs for your clients, you create the outline, you decide what's going to be in it, and then you offer it, and then you create it. Because if you create something you think they want, and it takes you 6 months and costs you thousands of dollars in videographer, and then you offer it, and nobody wants it, it's really deflating. So what you do is you create the outline, you create, and you just say, this is what it's going to be. And you offer it live the first time. And then, right, they get there and you go, whoa, I thought module 3 was going to be about this, but they really need this. Right. This program was created live. I mean, much of it, not every bit of it, but a lot of it was created, you know, as we went along. It wasn't all like, I didn't come up with 40 modules and then decide, oh, let's just call this NEPT and we'll get people in it. I mean, it evolves over time. So it's really important that you keep that in mind because I know folks, I have colleagues who have this great information. One in particular, she's brilliant with mold and mycotoxin sensitivity. And she knows how to detect it. She knows how to do all this. And I actually had her come speak at one of our events a few years ago. And I said, please offer people, they're going to want to go deeper. They're going to want, if they have this issue, they're going to want to know, how do I get it tested and all this stuff. And you can't even have time in 45 minutes to an hour on a stage to teach this. So create a program. And then you'll get a bunch of people to sign up for it. I don't have the program made. So like she didn't. And she said, I'm going to hire the videographer and we're going to do it. 5 years ago, she still doesn't have it made. And not only is she lost out on revenue opportunity, but all the people she could be helping. Right? Don't hold back on helping people. Don't wait for your offer to be perfect before you put it out there, because you are already many steps ahead of just about everybody, whether you're in module 1 or 5 or whatever, you're already way ahead. Just the fact that you're here, you're way ahead of most people out there. And those are the people you can help. Yeah, you might not be at the point where you can help somebody who's been to 12 naturopaths and functional medicine practitioners and all that and hasn't gotten help. You're not at that point yet, but you can help these folks who are struggling and don't even know what kale is at the supermarket, right? And they don't know that the Cheetos they're eating as they sit and watch TV at the end of the day, you know, trying to stave off the stress of fear of COVID is actually making them more susceptible. They don't know that yet. And when you teach them that, you can make a world of difference. The person that got me into this, not fully into it, but I really pushed me into where I'm at right now, I met in a gas station 35 years ago as I was struggling to learn stuff. This was before in the internet and summits and anything. And I'm trying to learn, like, why am I sick? Why am I not well? And I'm reading a book. Like, I think it was the 5-Day Allergy Relief System. That was Earl Mindell or something. And I'm sitting there reading that. And this guy came over to me and he said, blah, blah, blah. And then he said, what about fasting? I'm, oh yeah, I've done fasting. It's recommended in this book. He goes, you didn't do it long enough. Check this out. Read this book. And it changed my life. It changed the whole course of my life. And it not only changed my life, it changed how many hundreds of thousands of other people's lives, because I was willing to go, oh, that's interesting. I pursued.
Very cool. It's a very cool story. But you know, what's even cooler is the fact that he came up to you. Talk about intention and drawing something to you that you need.
Exactly. Yeah. And he had the courage to do it. Like you said, you talked to somebody. Whoops, I'm echoing. I think it was Cherry. You said, Who's echoing? There, it's better. So Terry, you mentioned the other day that you met this person and you had this conversation and she's like, you were looking at her posture or whatever. So don't be afraid to talk to people, right? Don't be afraid to share. Like some will, some won't, and probably more won't than will. But we have to get over that fear. Now, I'm not saying to go shove this down people's faces. Like, stop eating that garbage and stop eating that. Don't feed your kids that. You're a poison. You're a murderer. You know, don't do it that way. Right. But to just offer and have a conversation with people, because you never know how you're going to impact their life. Right. And the more you learn, the more you can. But none of you are at a place right now where you can't help a gazillion people. Right. You don't have to have every degree. You don't have to have completed a certification to be able to change somebody's life. You all can do it right now. And you're going to get better and better and better, and you're going to expand your circle. Maybe these are the many people now, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger the more experience and knowledge you have. So I'm so excited to have you guys here, and I'll hopefully connect next week. We have plenty of opportunities to connect. Bye.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Rita Marie.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Rita Marie. Bye, ladies.
Welcome.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you. Thank you.